The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And then you hear him say things like he did last night about women. I really think women are going to win this election for the vice president. Yeah. I think they'll come out in numbers. I think they'll, you know, not listen to their husband. I think they're going to do the right thing and vote for the vice president. Donald Trump, you never see him around strong, intelligent women, ever. Yeah. It's just that simple. They're intimidating to him. He doesn't like to be challenged by them.
Mark Cuban, of course, saying the quiet part out loud. They've been saying it all week. They hate Donald Trump. They hate his supporters. They're garbage. The women around him are stupid. I mean, this sets off another firestorm of rebuke aimed at these people. These people, as they're exposing themselves for all the world, certainly the nation, to see. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of this week, the first day of November. I can't even believe what's going to be happening the next 4, 5, 6 days, maybe 30 days, as I said yesterday, when we finally find out who wins the election. That's coming up on Tuesday, 4 days away. Anyway, the have to's first. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com and also at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. One quick programming note. We will be ready, not that I'm looking to pile on some extra work for me and my staff, but we will be ready next week to do some extra broadcasting if need be. We'll just see how that things play out. I mean, how can you forget what happened 4 years ago when they cheated in broad daylight? I mean, it was in the dark of night, but everyone saw it. Everyone saw how far ahead Donald Trump was going into sleep mode late that night. And then the next morning, hundreds of thousands of ballots discovered through the night. And the counting continued, I know, for several days thereafter before the media finally anointed Joe Biden as the fake president. So that's 4 years ago. Hard to believe. We're coming up on another extremely consequential election, to put it lightly. This is make or break moment for America. Cheating is already in motion. You've been seeing that. You've been hearing about lawsuits and so on. We'll come to some of that later on in the show. But I just want to start by focusing in on what you saw there. The Democrats' closing arguments. Joe Biden, for his part, says Trump supporters are garbage. And then the White House tries to cover it up. They change the apostrophe around. People lie. Mark Cuban right there, he says that there's no strong, intelligent women surrounding Donald Trump, which really angered the strong, intelligent women helping Donald Trump, supporting Donald Trump, voting for Donald Trump. All kinds of reaction on social media. Cuban then trying to walk it back. These people, they can't help themselves. Listen to this statement from the commentator Mark Lamont Hill, clip 12.
And these are deplorable people. Anyone in 2024 that is willing to vote for Donald Trump is deplorable, and it's a morally indefensible position.
That's what we're going to be seeing the next few days. That and Donald Trump wants to execute Liz Cheney. Okay. But this is what we're going to be hearing. They talk about unity, and at the same time they say, well, I mean, they are deplorable. Well, I mean, they are garbage. Well, I mean, there are no intelligent women helping Donald Trump. This is their closing argument? You know, I've talked this week about how even in the smallest of ways, their attacks on Donald Trump, they backfire. Think about this tweet. We saw this yesterday. It says, if the insult comic didn't tell his Puerto Rico joke at Trump's rally in New York, Biden wouldn't have made the biggest destructive gaffe in political history. I mean, he's right. Biden said what he said about garbage because of the Puerto Rico comedian, or the comedian who made a joke about Puerto Rico. It says, therefore, inviting the comedian to the Madison Square Garden rally might be the best political move by Trump this year. Well, then you look at Mark Cuban. You know, I prefaced the remark that got such a firestorm of backlash by him saying, you know, look at what Trump said yesterday at his rally about women. So it was Trump's comment, which they took out of context, that then prompted Cuban, and he's like a surrogate now for the Kamala campaign, but that's what prompted Cuban to then say, well, look at Trump. I mean, he's not surrounded by any intelligent or capable women. They're stupid, in other words. So he says it's similar to what Joe Biden said. This is the comment, by the way, that Trump made at Wisconsin just a couple days ago, clip two.
My people told me about 4 weeks ago, I was saying, no, I want to protect the people. I want to protect the women of our country. I want to protect the women. Sir, please don't say that. Why? They said, we think it's very inappropriate for you to say. I said, why? I'm president. I want to protect the women of our country. They said, sir, I just think it's inappropriate for you to say, pay these guys a lot of money. Can you believe it? I said, well, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to protect them from migrants coming in. I'm going to protect them from foreign countries that want to hit us with missiles and lots of other things.
So the regime, it zeroes in on that one little statement. I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not. Do what? Protect them from murderers, from rapists coming across the border. Trump says, yeah, my advisors didn't want me to put it this way because they don't want me to sound like a strong, basically he says they don't want me to sound like a strong male authority. He says, look, I'm going to say it whether the women like it or not. I'm here as your advocate. I'm here to protect you. I'm here to seal the border. That's a wonderful thing to say. But evidently, the regime and feminists together with them were deeply offended, took it wildly out of context. And then as you saw, Mark Cuban then goes and says he's surrounded by stupid women. Here again, they're saying the quiet part out loud, and a lot of it's brought on by statements that they zero in on and try to blow out of proportion. Take the comedian. Take what Donald Trump said right there. And then last night, he's sitting down with Tucker Carlson, President Trump, and he's talking about Liz Cheney and her dad, and he's saying, look, these warmongers, if they were on the front lines, maybe they'd think a little bit differently. But in their nice, safe, comfortable offices, it's easy for them to send 10,000 boys off to war. Again, another perfectly normal comment. But just like with what you saw there, well, you got the context. I gave you the entire context, what he said at Wisconsin. And I'll show you the context of what he said about Liz Cheney as well. But first, the meltdown. Notice what the meltdown had to say about his, and you can go look at the Drudge Report. It's just crazy. And now we're going to be hearing this all weekend long as the regime tries to, yeah, look, he's threatening Liz Cheney. He's going to execute Liz Cheney. Here's the meltdown, clip three.
Reaction to Donald Trump calling for Liz Cheney being shot in the face by nine rifles in the closing weekend of the campaign. Not only what it says about where the Republican Party is in 2024, but also what it must look like to our allies in London, in Paris, in Madrid, in Warsaw, across the world.
Trump calls for, you see the Drudge headline, he calls for Cheney's execution. And, you know, Joe's head explodes. Again, a statement taken entirely out of context. Entirely. Here's what Trump had to say in his sit down with Tucker, clip four.
And I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with nine barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh, gee, Will, let's send 10,000 troops right into the mouth of the enemy. But she's a stupid person. And I used to have meetings with a lot of people, and she always wanted to go to war with people.
She always wanted to go to war. And Trump says, you know, how about if you go on the front lines then, where, you know, the guns are trained in your direction? Maybe you'd think twice about just being the war hawk that you are. And so the regime, they take that, what you just heard right there, and you've seen tweets go around, the little 15-second version where he just says the guns are trained on her face, entirely out of context. By the way, in which direction are the bullets traveling? Who's actually had the guns pointed at his face? Who's actually been shot in the face? Who was almost assassinated on his own golf course? That headline will probably be up at Drudge for the next 48 hours as they try to make a story out of nothing. How dishonest can you be? Really, what we're seeing is desperation. Because they know, like Newt Gingrich said last night, they know they're about to lose it all. And so they've got to pull out all the stops. Liz Cheney tweets out, I mean, given what he said about me, this is why he can't be president. So she's a propagandist as well. She can go and see the full clip, and she probably has, but she lies. That's what they do. Just look at the direction of the bullets. It tells you all that you need to know, right? Listen to the ladies at The View as they blame Donald Trump for the garbage rhetoric. He's responsible, not Joe Biden. Clip 14.
He brought up America being a garbage can.
Right. Yeah.
I assume that meant that those of us who live in America,
yeah,
were garbage.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I was saying, you know, this morning, he owns that language. He owns that rhetoric because mm-hmm. he is the one that introduced it.
He owns it. He's responsible. He introduced it. I mean, some of Trump's language is coarse. You just heard it there in that exchange with Tucker. But he's responsible. There were people saying that he's responsible for the assassination attempt because of his rhetoric, because of what he's done, what he's said. He deserves it, in other words. They blame Trump for everything that they do. And we're seeing more and more of what they're doing. Listen to a point Jesse made last night, clip 13.
This is why no one trusts the press. We watch a video of the president calling us garbage. Then they tell us it didn't happen and to stop talking about it.
We see it. It's like I said about the baseball catch. We see the liars and the thieves ripping the mitt open and pulling the ball out and then saying, yeah, I guess he missed it. He missed the catch. Nobody trusts them. Desperation is in the air. You look at all, I mean, the final polls are now rolling in. And polls have never been nice to Donald Trump. But he was, you know, 4 or 5% behind in 2016 and about the same, even I think worse in some cases, in 2020. And then now coming into this, I mean, he's leading, I mean, by a slim margin, but he's leading. He's actually leading in all the swing states. Sam's take is always never to put your faith or your trust in polls. But it is interesting, just by way of comparison, are these pollsters, so many of them have a political agenda themselves, are they inflating the numbers this time in favor for Trump to maybe make his supporters complacent going into Tuesday? You look at some of the early voting numbers in Georgia, the numbers of ballots cast thus far, it's already exceeded the numbers from 2020. So evidently people are fired up, and some Democrats are saying, well, a lot of women are voting early, and that's good for Democrats. We'll see. Look at what Cuban said about women as they try to say that Donald Trump's the sexist or the misogynist. But they're turning out in droves. And this time, I mean, this time around, Republicans are being encouraged. I just saw a story before coming to air in Arizona, because there's so many races and voting takes so long. They're encouraging them to vote this weekend and to not wait for Tuesday. But then you also have, I mean, anytime you have that kind of early voting that's just going on for weeks and then counting that happens for days after the fact, it just opens the way for cheating on a mass scale. And there's already been instances of it. There was an illegal that voted in Michigan. And you've got the state, you know, the Secretary of State basically saying, yeah, I mean, he was an illegal and he voted, and now that it's in the system, and we can't go and remove the ballot. I mean, there's your best clue that it was a vote for Kamala. If it was a vote for Trump, they'd find that ballot, they'd destroy it, and they'd have the guy in jail. But a guy did it. He got away with it. He went and told the press, I was able to vote. I'm not even an American citizen. In 2016, the poll, these are numbers that Sam was able to crunch, based on this massive Atlas Intel poll that has Trump ahead nationally. He has Trump ahead in the swing states, and in some cases it's because of the radical leftist candidates, Jill Stein, Cornel West, which is pretty hilarious. If that's what ends up nuking Kamala's chances, people so far to the left that look at Kamala and the Democrat Party and say, you know, it's not even as radical as I think it should be. In 2016, the polling was off in key swing states by about 5 to 6 points. And we know what happened in 2016. Donald Trump ended up winning in those states by a razor-thin margin. So he wasn't actually 5 percentage points behind. It was neck and neck. And he eked out a victory. Then if you look at 2020, a little further in, again, it was about 5.5. Biden just barely stole it. So he was running way ahead, 5%, again, in the polls. And then, as we know, that night, I mean, the red wave happened, and Donald Trump, I think in Pennsylvania, was ahead by 600,000-700,000 votes until the cheat machines got in on the manufacturing of ballots or votes. This time, though, Trump is ahead. So what does it mean? Well, we can't know for sure until next week. But if, like in 2016, in 2020, the polls are sort of underestimating the support for Donald Trump. I mean, it's possible, as several are, and again, you don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse here, but it's possible that this may be too big to rig. If you add another 4 or 5% to what Trump already has, just judging by the polls, I mean, this could be a massive victory. It could be one where it's decided early in the evening, if that's even still possible. I mean, that makes you think that some of those blue states along the eastern seaboard are actually in play. as I've said, whether it's Virginia, New Jersey, maybe New York even, New Hampshire. I've long thought that if the cheat machines are in full motion in those swing states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, they certainly aren't as necessary, or they haven't been for the past 40 years in places like New Jersey, Virginia. And in Virginia, of course, Youngkin's cleaning up the rolls, and he's got the backing of the Supreme Court, which is pretty amazing. I mean, Youngkin himself is a Republican, maybe not the most conservative among them, but still, if there's a large turnout in the rural areas of Virginia, who knows? Who know? Do you think Kamala's campaign is inspiring support from Democrats or from some of those Democrat stronghold areas? I think there's a number of reasons to think that maybe the polls are not, you know, in the other direction where they're overestimating the support for Donald Trump and maybe trying to deceive voters into getting complacent so that they don't turn out to vote for Trump. And for one, I think if you just look around the country and you see the bitter affliction, it is bitter. The October jobs report came in today and 12,000 people were added. That's it. That's it. In the private sector, it's actually going in the wrong direction. I mean, we'd have no growth, zero growth, if not for the government taking on more salaries or creating more jobs. The biggest employer in the nation, the federal government. There you go. But what are they going to do? You look at the final jobs report number before the 2020 election. This is after 4 years of Trump. It was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of jobs added. So you look at the joblessness, you look at inflation, you look at the cost for goods and services, you look at what's happening in our cities, the crime, you look at the illegal immigration. Americans are staring at bitter affliction. It's everywhere. And never mind. I mean, even Kamala said the quiet part out loud the other day. She said, if you vote for Trump, you're voting for more chaos. So that's an indirect way of admitting that we're surrounded by chaos right now, and she's in power. So the American voters see that, look, Trump hasn't been responsible for any of this, not the past 4 years at least, which is why so many are coming out of the shadows and showing their support, even from minorities. Women too, believe it or not. And certainly the men. If you look at the bitter affliction, really, it's easy to think that these polls may be underestimating Donald Trump once again. What happens if you add another 5% to some of these figures that we're seeing in the final round of polling before we get to the 2024 presidential election? Another reason that it may be even more than what the polls are suggesting is just what we see with our own eyes. We saw what happened at Madison Square Garden just 5 days ago. We saw the turnout. We saw the tens of thousands that congregated around the arena that night to watch it outside. We see the rallies. We see the support. We see people coming out of the shadows. We see how that there's no longer a stigma against someone who publicly supports Donald Trump. There's still plenty of hate. But everywhere you look with respect to this campaign season, you see a campaign, in the case of Donald Trump, that's gaining momentum with each passing day. As I say, there's no longer a stigma against showing that public support for the bad orange man. You couldn't do that in 2016. You couldn't do it in large part in 2020. Now you can. Now you're seeing and you're hearing things that you never would have imagined seeing openly, anyway, in 2020, 2021. Now you add to that that Donald Trump, as far as good publicity goes, as far as his PR campaign, He's just hitting a home run after another, after another, after another. They follow him. The fake news, they follow him into McDonald's, knowing that he's finally going to trip up and he's going to look like a fool here. And instead, he crushes it. Same with the garbage truck presser. Hey, what do you think of my truck? What do you think of the garbage truck? I dedicate this to Kamala and Joe Biden for calling the American people garbage. As I said on yesterday's show, then they end up having to cover a story that they'd rather ignore. Added to all this, look at the train wreck that is the Kamala campaign. She never did get voted in. She hasn't been through campaigning before. She just, and we won't get into how she moved up the ladder so incredibly fast, but she's never done this. Trump's done it. This is the third time. And the man's outworking her easily. And everything this campaign does, the Kamala campaign, far from being a home run. I mean, it's like a strikeout time and time again. Listen to this from Jesse Waters. You heard in the cold open there. Mark Cuban said, you know, I think women are going to make a difference here, and they're going to vote for Kamala, and they're going to lie to their husbands. Imagine that. But this is now a strategy of the Kamala campaign. Look, you can go into the voting booth and you don't even have to tell your spouse who you voted for. You can lie about it. That's all these people do. And they're actually putting out campaign ads telling you to lie. Yeah, lie. Go ahead and lie. This is how Jesse Waters reported on that, clip 10.
Hollywood sees the writing on the wall. People don't want to publicly support Kamala, so they have a new plan. Have Julia Roberts tell women to secretly vote for Kamala and then lie to their husbands about it.
In the one place in America where women still have a right to choose, you can vote any way you want. And no one will ever know.
Did you make the right choice?
Sure did, honey.
Remember, what happens in the booth stays in the booth. Vote Harris Walz.
What happens in the booth stays in the booth. You don't have to tell your... You can secretively support. Now, this is a point I've been emphasizing this week as well. The fact that it's now... I mean, you're popular if you come out and show public support for Trump. And here is the other side saying, hey, just do it secretively. You don't have to tell anyone. You can lie. You can even lie to your own spouse. Listen to Newt Gingrich's take on this approach, clip 17.
Look, let me go out on a limb for a second as a historian. These people are dishonest. They're relentlessly, routinely dishonest at every level. And so for them to tell people to lie is just one further example of the depth of their corruption. I mean, how do you run a country where you're walking around saying wives should lie to their husbands, husbands should lie to their wives? I mean, what kind of a totally amoral, corrupt, sick system have the Democrats developed? If you think about it at that level, it is astonishing, the decay.
It's astonishing, as he says there. It's sick. It shows the sickness that Isaiah 1 discusses. Talking about our time today, the last days, sick from head to toe. Yeah, go ahead and lie. They're good at it. You look at this campaign, the Kamala campaign, all of the missteps, and then added to that, the sabotage. The fact that every time Kamala's out there to try to get some positive publicity, Joe Biden ruins it. I mentioned the other day, you know, the speech at the Ellipse on Tuesday, and Biden at the time, I mean, think about the fact that he's just 100 yards away. This speech is given in the backyard of the White House, and Joe Biden's not even invited. Joe Biden's not even a part of the event. And he's inside the White House on Zoom talking about the garbage that supports Donald Trump. Listen again to Gingrich on this scenario, clip 19.
I also believe personally, and I can't prove this, but I believe that at some point about 3 weeks ago, Jill and Joe Biden looked at each other and said, you know, if Joe's the only person to ever beat Trump, that's kind of an interesting legacy. And for the last couple of weeks, he has undercut her over and over. And think about that scene on the Ellipse. 70,000 people, the vice president, right in front of the White House. Do you see the president? Is he invited? Is he given dignity? Is he a guest? No, he's hidden. You don't think Joe Biden resented that? And so he says, oh, let me say something that'll get people to pay attention, like garbage. So he drowns her entire event. And we think that he did this by accident. I don't. I think it was deliberate, think it worked.
It worked. It did. Nobody cares about the Ellipsis speech. Nobody's talking about it. What are the key talking points coming out from that speech? That was supposed to be her closing argument. Instead, we're talking about garbage, how the women around Trump are stupid, lying about executing Liz Cheney. This is their closing argument? Jesse Waters, this was the other night, actually, as he spoke about Joe Biden derailing Kamala's campaign, clip 11.
Biden, who doesn't even know what Zoom is, just derailed Kamala's campaign. And he did it from solitary confinement a week before Election Day. Donald Trump couldn't believe it. He found out during a rally.
Yeah, and we played those clips for you. Marco Rubio giving him a slip of paper, and then Rubio saying all of you are garbage. And then Trump has, he's had the garbage truck presser since then. And the orange vest. We tried to find an orange vest for yesterday's show, by the way. But we didn't have one here in the warehouse. So maybe next time we'll have a prop for you to enjoy. That story. Just my daughter was saying this morning, just the cold open yesterday with Trump telling the story about the garbage truck and the orange vest. Hilarious. And the way that the crowd was reacting to all of the hilarious moments. The comedic timing, as Joe Rogan said, in referring to Donald Trump. He's good at it, like I said on yesterday's show. Another reason why the polls might be actually underperforming for Donald Trump, even though he's ahead, is in just looking at the Democrats freaking out. They are in full-scale meltdown mode. They're screaming. They're screaming. Over what? Rhetoric? Over nothing. Because they can sense that maybe the landslide is coming. Maybe it's inevitable. Maybe we're not going to be able to cheat our way to victory. I mean, if we can only do it for 1 or 2 percentage points, how can we make up the difference if he's polling this far ahead? And again, we're not even seeing the internal polling that the campaigns conduct. But here's a meltdown as an example, clip 5.
The hypocrisy, Mika, over a misstatement by Joe Biden, which he quickly corrected, is so laughable, because this guy does this every day. And then you turn on Fox News and say, oh, how could anybody do this? I've never seen this before. Despite the fact one of the people saying that yesterday on Fox News stood by while Donald Trump watched violence erupt on January the 6th.
January 6th, of course, he went, in case you didn't follow that, he went from the garbage comment and Fox News's coverage, and then January 6th. There you go. We've got the whole story. Joe working in some kind of impersonation of who knows who over at Fox News. They're melting down. I mean, in ways that they haven't months ago. I know I've made the point where, you know, morning meltdown, it happens every day. But, I mean, it's on steroids this week. What do they know that we don't know? Maybe they know something dreadful is about to happen. to their cherished party, their communist state, their authoritarian rule, their grip on power. Another reason, yet another reason why the polls may be showing that there's even more support for Trump is when you just look at all of the miracles that God has performed. And I've made this point previously too, but if you step back, if you look at the head tilt, if you look at the fact that Donald Trump should have been murdered, really, on July 13th, and how that God has just been maneuvering, God has been intervening, God has been, his presence is clearly here. He is orchestrating some dramatic events to further his purpose. This doesn't mean it absolutely has to come about through an actual election. It could be some other means. I mean, he's God. He can do it whatever way he wants to do it. But just in looking at the polls, the momentum, the disastrous campaign of Kamala and company, some of these other things I've mentioned. But think for a moment, too, about the miracles, about the hand of God. J.D. Vance was talking about the attempted assassination in July on with Joe Rogan. Look at clip 15.
I'm a pretty good shot. I served in the Marine Corps for 4 years. An AR-15 from 140 yards away is a
pot shot. Even without a scope. He didn't have a scope, right?
I don't believe he had a scope.
But even without a scope.
Without a scope. I mean, yeah. I've shot an M16 many times and an AR-15 without a scope. There is no... It is shocking that he's alive.
Yeah.
Right? It really is. I'm a person of faith, but I think it's a genuine miracle that guy didn't kill him. But how did he get so close? There's a lot of really big questions that he should be asking.
It's shocking that he's still alive. And we've gone over the miracle before. We don't need to rehash all of that. But there's the vice president or the VP pick saying that, you know, I've handled a lot of guns in my life and that he was that close with that kind of a rifle. It's shocking that Donald Trump is still alive. I've mentioned, too, just how much this is all brought out in America Under Attack, how that God allowed the election steal in 2020 to further expose the treason, to expose the real insurrection. And we're seeing so much of that evil. It's being exposed. This week I've talked about messages, whether it's on CNN or wherever, from RFK or anyone else under the big tent that Donald Trump has established for the MAGA party. Messages that are getting through that never, never would have gotten through just a couple years ago. Listen to this one from, again, this is J.D. Vance talking about his experience with the vaccine during the COVID hysteria, clip 8.
The moment where I really started to get red-pilled on the whole vax thing was the sickest that I've been in the last 15 years by far was when I took the vaccine. And I've had COVID at this point 5 times. I was in bed for 2 days. My heart was racing. I was like, the fact that we're not even allowed to talk about that, even, you know, no serious injury, but even the fact that we're not even allowed to talk about the fact that I was as sick as I've ever been for 2 days. And the worst COVID experience I had was like a sinus infection. I'm not really willing to trade that. And no. You don't even, you know, everybody that I know, or a lot of people I know, they talk about the second shot that they got of the vaccine was really, that made them really, really sick. Well, that's a side effect and not a side effect that we even talk about enough in this country.
No, it's also, again, we're talking about companies that have a long history of lying and being forced to pay criminal fines, and then we're giving them this exemption from being responsible for any of the side effects.
Yeah, and who do you think those big pharma companies donate to politically in 2024? I'll give you a big fat guess.
Probably Kamala Harris.
By a significant margin. Well,
that's the potential vice president of the United States talking about when he was red-pilled, when his eyes were opened to the fact that there are vaccine side effects. That you never heard that from government officials, certainly not. during the COVID hysteria. This is how you handle COVID. Get in the basement, stay away from people, close your business, and then the vaccine is rolled out. Now get the vaccine, get double boosted, keep taking in the drugs. And here is a man that will soon be the vice president of the United States saying, that was the sickest I've ever been in 15 years when I took the vax. The vaccine side effects. It's real. It's real. And these are some of the people surrounding Trump. You can say they're stupid if you like. They're ill-informed. In fact, that's a pretty smart man there. Same with RFK. Listen to him. He was with Tucker at his event in Phoenix. By the way, a packed house. I forget the arena that they were in. But this was just yesterday. Another swing state, Arizona. But Tucker asked RFK about his future position in a Trump government. And listen to his response, clip 9.
How do you envision your role in a Trump administration?
President Trump has asked me specifically to do two things. One, to help unravel the capture of the agencies by corrupt influence. In other words, to drain the swamp. President Trump has some extraordinary gifts, and one of them is that he has very, very good instincts. And that when he came out the first time, you remember, he was very against the lockdowns publicly. He was for hydroxychloroquine. He was for alternative medicines. He was against the mass. He was doing, but he was surrounded by bureaucrats who, and you know, knowledgeable experts who, you know, ultimately push back on those assumptions and got us into some policies that I think were really bad for our country. He's not going to do that again.
He's not going to do that again. I mean, he was, if you remember early on in the pandemic, Trump's instincts were right. Now he got it wrong on the vaccine, but he wanted to reopen businesses. He wanted to keep the economy moving. He wanted people to be able to live their lives, to enjoy freedoms. My body, my choice. You hear it with abortion, but you didn't hear it in 2020 as the government lowered the boom. And you heard it from Joe Biden yesterday on that clip I played. Our patience is wearing thin. You better get the jab. If RFK, given his views about big pharma and disease and autism and vaccines, if he has a prominent position in all those alphabet agencies having to do with your health, I mean, this is of God. God is exposing not just so much evil, but also some truth. That, again, I think would suggest that these numbers, if anything, they're too low. The ones showing Trump just barely leading in these swing states. Listen to Tucker Carlson himself as he talks about why the establishment and all those bureaucrats that RFK just mentioned there, why they fear, why they hate, they loathe Donald Trump so much. This is clip 7.
But the main reason they don't want Donald Trump back in Washington is something called disclosure. Do you know what disclosure is? Disclosure means sunlight. Disclosure is the principle that you, as an American citizen, an equity owner of this country, not a renter, not a serf, not a slave, but as a citizen, an owner of this country, a person on whose behalf the government exists, there's no other reason to have the government except to serve you, that you have a right to know what that government is doing with your money in your name.
The reason they hate him is because of disclosure, because of what he's revealing. As I said yesterday on the show, I mean, he knows the regime media better than they know themselves. That's how he's able to call them out so effortlessly. That's how he's able to drive the narrative, even when they kick and scream in protest. It's why they hate him, because he's exposing their lies. He's exposing all the criminality He's exposing where the real insurrection is. He's exposing the people who are traitors to their country, to the Constitution. The last reason that I think these final rounds of polls might be, if anything, showing too little support for Donald Trump is just because of what's prophesied. Again, if it happens through the election next week, then, well, there you go. You know it's too big to rig. It's too big for them to, the victory, I mean. It's too big for them to cheat their way to victory. It's too big for them to cheat their way to stealing the election. This is from the American Thinker. This guy says here, please remember that most of what you're about to read is my opinion based on an analysis of political articles and polling data. As such, it should be taken with a grain of salt. So we can't know how this is going to unfold. As I said at the start, I mean, we'll be ready next week for some additional programming if we need to, for some longer shows, maybe an extra show, I don't know. But it says here, the reason you should be both doubtful and cautiously optimistic is simple. Although the polls say the election will be close, Trump is currently in the best position, polling-wise, of any of his three presidential campaigns. In other words, he's more popular today than he has been in 8-9 years, ever, in other words. He's more popular than ever. And as I say, with one of the points I gave you earlier, I mean, you can, so much of it you can see with your own eyeballs. You can look at the Madison Square Garden event. New York City, downtown New York City. It says here, this election has 7 battleground states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. According to the RCP averages, Trump has the lead in all 7. Whether this holds up when the votes are counted remains to be seen. But, he goes on and says, I mean, it's looking pretty good. You bump him up 4 or 5%, like what happened in 2016, he could win going away. And you look at all these other points that I've made, just even the reaction from the radical left. Panic mode. But don't lose sight either of what God says. It's prophesied. He's coming back. Jeroboam will return. God will intervene. Now that's, I mean, with prophecy, you're looking ahead based upon 2 Kings 14, Amos 7, and so on. But you can also look back, as I said earlier, and just see miracle after miracle after miracle. Listen again to Newt Gingrich from last night. This is clip 18.
Every surrogate out there, Bill Clinton, Mark Cuban, Stacey Abrams, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, and Joe Biden, not exactly helpful.
What you're watching is sort of like Custer's Last Stand. I mean, these folks are all on the verge of a disaster. They're running in circles. They're saying things that are hysterical, untrue, unbelievable. And if you watched Kamala earlier today, she's just plain getting exhausted. She's never campaigned. She's never had to win anything. It's all been given to her. And now suddenly in the last week, I suspect, beginning to realize she's going to lose. And you're going to see more and more desperation from now through next Tuesday as it really sinks in that this is over.
It's amazing that we're finally here. The month of November is upon us. The U.S. election system, as flawed as it is, there's lots of flaws for sure. It goes on for 2-3 years of campaigning, and we're finally at that moment, and the whole world is watching. And you should be grounded in the prophecies of God as we gear up for what's coming upon this country and, of course, the whole world. We need God's perspective. Again, America Under Attack and the Trumpet Magazine. That will keep you informed. Tomorrow's news today, as we so often say with our magazine. You can know And that's why we can make certain statements on this program and on our website and in our literature that are pretty emphatic because we have insights that God gives to us because of prophecy. Peter said it's a sure word. A sure word. I've talked in class this week about the Apostle Paul admonishing the brethren in Corinth to where it's, I forget the exact verse and what it's talking about, but he basically says, I must do this. I must. Jesus in John 9, I think it is, he says, I must do the works of the Father while there's time to do it. And as I was telling the students, I mean, we need to bring more of that I must into our Christian living. If it's based on God, his instruction, his law, his teachings, his prophecies, then you can be sure. You can know. We've got a few minutes left, and I didn't tell you up front, but we've got another installment of World Watch. So we'll segue right into that to conclude today's program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll see you next week.
China is increasing its number of road mobile DF-26 intermediate range ballistic missiles, which are capable of carrying conventional and nuclear warheads, according to a Nuclear Challenges report from the Defense Intelligence Agency released on October 23rd. These missiles are nicknamed Guam Killers because of their ability to attack American forces on the western Pacific island. In 2020, the Defense Intelligence Agency estimated that China had a little over 200 warheads in its arsenal. It now has more than 500 and is expected to have more than 1,000 by 2030. To learn what the Bible has to say about nuclear weapons in the end time, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, Nuclear Proliferation: Will Humanity Survive? Iran plans to triple the country's military budget this year as part of a new budget proposal, an Iranian government spokeswoman said on October 29th. This announcement comes on the heels of Israel's recent retaliatory strikes against Iran for its October 1st missile attack. The Israeli retaliatory strikes on October 26th targeted missile manufacturing sites and aerial and anti-air arrays in at least six different Iranian provinces. According to The Telegraph, Iran informed Israel through a third-party source that it would not respond to the strikes. However, its 200% military budget increase shows Iran does not plan to slink away quietly. Iran is pushing its weight around in the Middle East. Bible prophecy indicates that its aggression will increase, threatening the peace of the world. This military spending increase is a substantial step in that direction. For more information about Iran's prophetic role in your Bible, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's free booklet, The King of the South. Russia provided targeting data to Iran-backed Houthi rebels who attacked ships in the Red Sea earlier this year, The Wall Street Journal reported on October 25th. Russia gave satellite data to Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which then passed it on to its allies, the Houthis. This allowed the terrorist group to expand and better coordinate attacks. By stoking the conflict in the Middle East, Russia draws America's attention and resources away from the threat that Russia itself presents to the West. By April last year, the U.S. had already spent around $1 billion on munitions to counterattack the Houthis and protect shipping in the Red Sea. The Iran-Russia partnership especially threatens Europe. Facing Russia's ongoing war against Ukraine, concerns over America's reliability as an ally, and Iran threatening to shut down a crucial sea passage, Bible prophecy indicates that Europe will soon take decisive action, especially against Iran. To learn more, read An Alliance of Evil. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.